Since January, and along the way, I've said, Del, I want to share. I've got a testimony to share. I've got something to share with the church, what God's doing in my life. And then, bam, something else happened to me. Del, I've got a testimony to share. God's working in my life. Then, bam, something else happened to me. Well, this went on for like 5, 6 different physical ailments, big time. And I remember talking to the doctor, and one of the biggest was shingles, and another was bronchitis, severe bronchitis. I remember talking to the doctor, and he said, well, at least none of them are life-threatening. Well, God says, okay. I'm going to add more to your testimony for you. So, as most of you know, a couple of weeks ago, I was admitted to the hospital with a pulmonary embolism, and I could have died. And God, in his infinite wisdom and grace, decided it wasn't my time. Although I'm ready to see Milo. I'm an emotional person usually, so you're going to get some emotion in this, but I'll do my best. I've been a Christian since I was 15 years old, and like most Christians, you get close to God and you move away back. Where's God? You get close to God and you move back. And it's kind of a journey. And I have a degree from a Bible college, also from Seattle Pacific. But I kept this journey going and forward and backward, but still a believer. And sometimes I was very close to God, and many times I said, where are you? In fact, I shared a testimony here many, many years ago that a lot of people still remember, and I reminded God of my phone number. Isn't that hilarious? Laugh! Thank you. Anyway, I guess I really don't know what God wants me to say right now. The Holy Spirit hopefully is working through me. Stay close to God. Remember that He is our sovereign God. He is in charge of absolutely everything. That's the only thing that keeps me sane in this world today, that God is in charge. He's in charge of every minute detail of our lives if we let Him be. We have to surrender to Him. And that's one thing I have learned, that I need to totally surrender to Him. I've never asked Him why on this journey I've been on since January. I've never been on a journey like this before. But not once have I asked God why. I finally got to the point where I could say, God, what are you trying to teach me? What do you want me to learn from all this? How can I be a better Christian and closer to you through what I'm going through? How can I be a witness for you by what I'm going through? God is still answering my prayers, and He's answering your prayers. I'm headed in the right direction. The doctor just said I was doing great last Monday. I go again next Monday, week from Monday. And he said I'm doing great. Most of the symptoms have pretty much subsided. Can't take deep breaths real well yet. My stamina's not really good yet. But I'm alive, and I'm alive to share this with you and let you know that God is good, God is great. Not let us thank Him for His food. Anyway, can you tell I try to be funny? Also, another interesting thing. I have kept touch with my Australian cousins. For those of you that don't know, I'm half Australian. I have half a family over there, and I've been here 99.99% of my life, but my mother was an Australian. So all of the relatives on her side are from Australia. So I've been keeping touch with them, Facebook and all that. And I went over on my own for the first time in 99, and Milo took me twice after that. And so I have a relationship with them. In fact, I have a better relationship with them than I do my cousins here. Isn't that terrible? But just this last, since I've been sick, I get this contact through Facebook from this Julie, and she'd asked to be my friend. Julie, I don't know Julie Ray. She'd asked to be my friend, so I just left it there, and lo and behold, she contacts me, and it's my first cousin, Julie. And through her, I've gotten in touch with her brother, David, my first cousin. And I have a first cousin in Montesano that I've been in touch with. And it's cool. It's really cool. God just weaves every part of your life together. But the most exciting thing, I think, of all is, and I think maybe why Satan's, you guys watch out for Satan. I'm not kidding. You can be the best Christian in the world in your own mind and your own spirit, but Satan's out to destroy you and take away your joy. And I am a witness to that. I've had this person in my life even before I married my first husband. And he knew I was a Christian, and our lives separated when I got married. And then after my divorce, we kind of got back together again. And then I married Milo, and he married somebody else. And there's a reason for this story. And now our lives are back together again on a very platonic basis. But people, he's ready to accept Jesus. I know he is. And he's 77 years old. He's ready to accept Jesus. And the last time, he knew I was a Christian all these years, and I felt like I had to be on the defensive with him as far as my faith went and answering his questions. But now I know he's ready to accept Jesus. And maybe Satan just was trying to put this off by me being ill. Who knows? But God's timing is perfect. And I'm so thankful to be alive. And I'm so thankful for each and every one of your prayers. I feel them all the time. And I ask you to continue to pray for my physical health, my spiritual health, and my emotional health, and my witness to Bob that he may be a believer. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing, Eileen. Beautiful job.
What did I just say?
Someone else like to share? Now come on, church. This is what you wanted. I'm giving it to you. Here comes. There's one thing, among others, that I really appreciate about this beautiful young lady. She always notifies me when she can't make it to church. And so I don't worry about her because I know what's going on in her life. And I thank you for that, Crystal. So
you think I'm playing hooky? I was not playing hooky last Saturday. I was telling Dennis and Pastor this morning, and even Mary Ann, because Caitlin and I live by ourselves, I have a home to maintain by myself, which means yard work, weeds. Weeds are the worst. And laying down a bunch of sod last weekend, mulch. So come Sunday morning, I could barely walk. So I did let Pastor know, and he responded with, enjoy the sun. I thought, no, I can't move. a lot of you know, a few years ago, after being married for almost 20 years, my family had gone through a change, and I ended up getting a divorce. And my biggest fear, well, one of my biggest fears, other than finding a place to live, was Caitlin and how Caitlin would adjust. Caitlin has obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD, which means she has, in a nutshell, she requires stability and she requires routine in order for her to function somewhat peacefully. And with going through a divorce, it can be hard. It's hard on the adults, it's hard on older kids, and especially with somebody who has OCD, it can be even more difficult. When I had gone through my divorce, Pastor asked me to give my testimony. We found a house, praise God. There were 10 of us who were looking at the same house. We all had to apply for this home. And that afternoon, I got a call from the gal, and she said, the house is yours if you want it. So Caitlin and I just signed our third-year lease with this house. Granted, we're not buying it, and I probably will not buy a house because I plan on retiring 20 years. I'll be 65, and I plan on retiring by then, and I don't want to maintain a home, a mortgage after that. So I'm resigned to the fact that we are renters, and that means, you know, every year our rent goes up, and every year I get a cost of living raise for working for the State Patrol. And I praise God that that extra helps me to pay for the extra rent that I have to pay. I am grateful for a lot of things. There were a lot of uncertainties going off on our own. I've become accustomed to YouTube. I know how to change out my headlights on my car. And I was so proud of that. In fact, I was telling Dennis this morning, I have a wooden fence in my backyard. And there's a big gate that leads to the back, and the fence is old, so the wood was stripped, so the hinges were coming off of the gate. And Uncle YouTube, I learned how to fix the gate with $3 container of wood glue and some shavings of wood, and I fixed it yesterday, and it saved me, I don't know how much money, maybe a new fence, I mean, I don't know, but so we are. Every day is a blessing. I get up in the morning and I thank God for, as tired as I am, because I work full-time mom, kind of full-time dad at times with Caitlin when I have to be the disciplinarian. Taking care of a home, all of the things that just, the load, it just mounds and mounds, and I'm so grateful. In the morning when I wake up, that I have another day to wake up. And then in the evening when I go to bed, I'm so grateful that God allowed me to achieve all of these things. It really is through His grace. Caitlin's going to be 14 next Sunday, by the way, on Mother's Day. And she's been planning her birthday for 2 months. 2 months. I told her she needs to get a job. You do need to get a job. Plus, she'll be in high school in the fall. So, my son moved away a couple years ago and just recently came back home. So all of my kids are here in Washington, Western Washington. Caleb, all you guys know my son Caleb, is actually going to be a chaperone at Caitlin's school tomorrow because she has a field trip and mom can't go because I have to work. And so Caleb, big brother, is going to chaperone his sister, although she's taller than him. It's just great to see how faithful God is. And when things are hard, I mean, pray when it's hard, pray when it's good. It's easy to pray when things are easy. It's hard to be faithful when it's dark and it seems like the world is just crumbling. But that is the time where you need to pray the most and really trust God. And we have done that for our faith has gotten stronger in God over the last 3 years, and I'm so grateful that all of my kids are home. They're all really close. They still fight when they're together. Actually, Caleb and Caitlin kind of go toe-to-toe when they're together because she's a little sister, so she kind of picks on them still. Caitlin's maintained straight A's for the past 3 years, so she's carving out a good path for her future academically. I'm already thinking about college. That provides me a little bit of stress. I've got to, she's going to be going to college in 5 years. How are we going to do college? I don't know that, but I know it's going to happen because I trust God. And I trust God that everything's going to be okay. And it is. Things are good. I have peace in my heart. I'm thankful for my church family. When I come in, I always see smiles. And it's genuine. The love is genuine. And I thank Pastor Dell for still being here with us. You haven't left us. And that's a blessing right there. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing that beautiful story. I often say behind every face there's a story. Now is your chance.
As you probably know, I've been here quite a few years. I went to church over on Lily Road. And I got Tootie to go, and then Sarge and them. Tootie has dementia really bad. She didn't even recognize her youngest daughter the other day. So just keep her in your prayers. I had 8 children in 11 years. And 5 of them are terminally ill right now. My oldest daughter has class 4 liver cancer and it's got into her kidneys. My oldest son has congenital heart failure and has dialysis 3 times a week directly in his heart. My youngest daughter is on a liver transplant list. The next boy, who is the minister in the family, he's a twin. He has the same disease that Paul Allen had. And I talked to him the other day, and he says, Mama, please quit praying for me. I want to go to heaven. And his voice has gotten so bad, the swelling of the glands in his neck, he can barely talk. And my youngest son is 48, and he had 5 heart attacks. And he was at the hospital in Aberdeen, and he sat in the emergency room for an hour, and he said, forget this. So he walked down the hill and hitchhiked to Elma. And when he went in the hospital in Elma, they took him right in and they called an ambulance to take him to Black Hills Hospital. And Elma had called Black Hills to get a cardiologist there. And when he got there, within 15 minutes, he was in surgery. 99% of his heart was blocked. And the doctor was able to take care of that and blow out 3 other veins in his heart. And this kid is like 280 pounds, 6'4". And he could pick up a double wide couch with one arm practically and take it out of the room. He was that strong. But it has taken its toll on his health. And people say, well, don't you worry all the time about your kids? I said, nope. Worry doesn't solve a thing. And besides, I gave all my kids to the Lord when they were born. And this, my youngest son had spinal meningitis when he was 2 weeks old. And the 2 babies that he caught it from in the doctor's office both passed away. He was the only one that survived. And it's just, God is taking care of them for me. So why should I worry? I've had 11 surgeries, but I go to the doctor now once a year because I just don't accept being sick. You get what you say, so be careful what you say. Say, I'm not going to be sick. God's going to take care of me. It has worked for me.
Amen. Thank you, Joanna. Beautiful story. Now, I expected a popcorn testimony here with no dead air time. I have a sermon I can preach. Here you go, Craig.
Well, I don't know what you expect from me. Everybody boosting me up here. I have a tendency to talk too much, so I was just going to sit back and wait and let everybody have a chance. But if you pressure me into it, get up on the stage and give me a microphone, I'm ready, okay? Because I got so much to talk about. There's so much good going on in my life. And I'm going to be like Eileen, I got to start crying because I just can't believe how much this church has changed my life. Just from the onset, when I went through my divorce, started out in 2011, 2012, something like that, and I can sure sympathize with you, my dear. And but I've also learned that by putting myself in front of this church and putting myself, there's other people that I talk to about this kind of stuff, is I put myself in a position to where I'm getting fed the Word of God. I go to different churches and I go to some Bible studies and do some things. And, you know, we've had some prayer meetings at the restaurant before for the police officers that were killed. We are back at doing that again at the Little Burger Hut. Praise God, you know. I got this Little Burger Hut over there on Martin Way that the wind blows through the thing, and you can hardly keep any heat in it sometimes. But I've got five guys now that want to meet there every Tuesday morning and open the windows and let the air go through and we do our prayer meetings. You know, there's so much that I've got going through my mind that I would want to talk about, but there's some things I'm supposed to just, the Holy Spirit says just to focus on something. So let me just focus on one thing here for a little bit, and that is I always go about being thankful. So I want to be thankful this morning for my foster daughter, Lori. Lori was 14 years old when my ex-wife and I met her. And we took her into our family because she had a terrible situation happen in her family where the mother wound up divorced, and there was the ex-stepfather was a pedophile, and he destroyed their family business, which was a daycare center. So Lori came to me because I was employing her mother as a seamstress in a party store, costume store that I had at the time. Well, Lori, being 14 or 15, fell in love with the business that we were doing because it was a costume balloon delivery service, bouquet. We dressed up in costumes and did balloon bouquet deliveries and had a gag gift store in there, and we did all kinds of costumes. Well, Lori was old enough to do some of these deliveries at the time, so I used to drive her around in her costumes and when I wasn't doing one or whatever, and she did those kind of things. Well, I want to fast forward real quick. Lori, I retired and sold the business. And Lori went on and became an office manager for an orthodontist for 10 years. And she met a fellow who was in the insurance business and married him. And she later, 10 years later, the building that I had my business in became available again. So she called me and asked me for some information because she wanted to go back and open that business up again in the same location. So I've dug through some stuff and got her some information and got her back on track. Lori just sold that building and whatnot now, 20-some years later. And Lori, in the meantime, became a professional magician. She became a professional clown. And she's one of the most high-energy people you'd ever want to meet in your life. And I've been spending quite a bit of time with her here just lately. However, during her time, she lost her, I'm going to really fast forward here a little bit. She lost her husband on October 31st, Halloween, in the biggest Halloween store in Alaska. And they were busy as could be. And he walked over and said, I don't feel good. I'm going to go upstairs and lay down. And she said, I'll be right up behind you and see how you're doing. And he never made it to the top of the stairs. And so she lost him. So my ex and I jumped on an airplane and went up, spent 2 weeks with her and helped her get things organized and take care of that. So she ran that business again by herself and had to learn a great deal of stuff because he took care of all the behind scenes things, did all the ordering, all the computer stuff and all that. So she had so much that she had to learn there. However, because he was an insurance salesman, he had bought her insurance. And so a great deal of stuff had been taken care of because of the way that he had taken care of with the insurance thing. The unfortunate thing was they had just been to Cape Coral, Florida and bought a house 2 weeks earlier and signed on it, and he died and never got to go back to it. So later on, time goes by a little bit, and she marries again, and she called me and asked me to walk her down the aisle, and I did, and I went to on a Caribbean cruise with her, and I flew to Florida. So I hadn't seen Lori for quite a long time. So I have to back up even a little bit more as this comes to my mind. In the next 18 months, she not only lost her husband, she lost two brothers and her father. And that would take the toll on just about anybody. But every time that she does that, she would just get stronger and stronger. And the point that I'm getting is Lori never really mentioned God, but she became a very, very positive type person, even more so than she was already. And she would speak about having faith, and she'd post little things, you know, like that you see the little encouragement type things and stuff. And she's got two books. She's got these inspirational things that she writes down because she's a poet as well. So she writes these things down and keeps track of them. So she's got these little books of encouragements and stuff like that. I said, you know, you need to publish some of this kind of stuff. And it might be something that somebody else said, but it'd be very encouraging to other people. But she's so positive and all this kind of stuff. But I never really heard her say Jesus or God or anything like that. But be faithful, you know, type of thing. And I'd ask her about her faith from time. She said, well, I'm getting by and that kind of stuff. Well, the interesting thing was is that now Sam He and I, when we got married, the commonality that we had is that we both believe in Jesus, and we came together and were able to put a marriage together based on our faith in God. Well, when we got married, we went to, being not from here, she hadn't been to Orlando, Florida, to Disney World, so she asked me for a honeymoon if we could go there. So we did, and then we went down to Florida, Cape Coral, to see Lori. Well, while we were there with Lori, we wound up buying a house while we were there. So we've been going back and forth for the last couple of years and spending some time with Lori. Lori, in the meantime, had just sold her business. And so we are going to be moving to Florida here shortly. And we just put our house up for sale and starting to liquidate. And we'll be moving down there with her. So the last time that I went down this last month, I went down there. And when I got there, she said, Craig, you're not going to believe this, but I found the most wonderful church. And she said, would you come to church with me on Sunday? Well, normally it's me asking them to do that, you know. And here she is inviting me to a church where she thinks that she wants to be. And so I went to a beautiful church. It's called Cape Christian. And it's a huge thing. It's got a big campus. It's got its own coffee shop on it and whatnot. But I went to church there three times while I was there this last month. And it's just a fantastic, fantastic church. Well, Lori, being the... they have these cards they put out, like connect cards, and when you come in and kind of stuff. So she actually, Lori has never wanted to have children because of her past. But because they've got this big daycare center in there and whatnot, being a clown and doing these balloon stuff, she creates all these balloon bouquets, and she can do those little twisty balloons and all that kind of stuff. So she's volunteering now, and she wants to do the stuff with the kids. So, you know, God has just blessed her and me so much, because you don't know when somebody comes into your life, how many years later or whatever, you'll see somebody back in your life. And you know, honestly, it's kind of interesting, because I have two children. My daughter's 50, my son's 41. My daughter's in Bend, Oregon, my son's in Portland. And I don't see them very often. You know, we kind of make the breaks in the times that we need to get together for Christmas or whatever, those short periods of time. But my kids go drive by me constantly, and they don't ever stop in and say hi or whatever. And I'm not complaining about it or anything. I'm glad to have the kids and that kind of stuff. But I make more of a connection with my foster daughter than I do with my own two. And it's enlightening to know that I have somebody that I have made a connection like that, because when it's family like the kids, I can always call on them and be with them at any particular time, and we have a little different connection. But I have a connection with a young lady now who has found Christ, and you know, she asked me to church, and I said, we had some time together, and I had breakfast with her. I said, now, what about the Christ thing? What do you think? She goes, oh, I believe in Jesus Christ, because if I didn't, there's no way I would be alive. She said, I just didn't know how to vocalize it until recently, you know. And so I like to believe that I played a bit of a part in that, in inviting her to gently, as Pete did me for 20 some years or more. Pete invited me to church, never pressured me or anything like that, but at the time that I needed it the most, he asked me if I would like to come to church and to see if there could be a change in my life, and he did, and I came, and I am so glad that I did. And then I have to look back on the difficulties that I went through going through the divorce and looking at 20 some years of history and wondering why am I at where I am today. So I believe that I am where I'm at right now, and I don't look back at those things except for a learning thing, and they come to my mind, but I push them back there, and I look forward to what it is Jesus has planned for me. And I believe that he has a plan for me to be with my lovely wife, who's Christian and wants to be more Christian and wants to do more in the American church, and my daughter, or my foster daughter, who wants me to be with them. And I'm quickly, because I know somebody else is going to want to say something here. The guys that I met at my house since I have been there is unbelievable. The maintenance fella goes to this Cape Church. I didn't know that. There's a Korean couple that Sammy knows that are going there. There's the circle of people that have come together in my life over all of this with my daughter, my foster daughter, because wherever she goes, if she were to see you, she's got a little ketchup thing that she carries in her purse all the time. She goes around, she squirts you with this ketchup thing, particularly waitresses. She goes, "Here, I forgot this," you know, and they squirt them, and she left. She does it to people all over, everywhere, right? And she's a riot. And wherever she goes, if I lose her for a few minutes in a store somewhere, she's doing magic for somebody someplace, you know. But it's so amazing to me to have all this going on in my life when just a few years ago I just thought I even didn't have any future at all. And here it is. I've got so much going on, and I feel so called to do something. And I'm like everybody else. I'm not sure exactly what it is. I just know that there's something that it'll turn up, because it always has. I mean, I should write a book about my life, because I'm on about my ninth life right now, and he always takes care of me. And even in retirement, after having worked all my life, and I was just telling Sammy yesterday, I've had a job since I'm 13 years old. You know, I have worked all the time, and the guys asked me, "Do you golf or do you boat or anything like that?" And I said, "All I know how to do is work." And I said, "Right now, I'm trying to figure out how to do something, and it's definitely going to have to be in the church." So, my message of encouragement is that you do so much for other people, and so many people will come back in there if you allow them, and if you put yourself into positions where that you can help other people. And the other thing that I think that is just so amazing to me right now in the Bible studies that I'm going to is God wants each and every. We have the authority to speak God's gospel, Jesus' gospel. He tells us in Acts and Matthew and different things. I'm not one of these guys that can rattle off all the numbers, but I know it's there because I've read it all there. And he tells us to go out and disciple and to talk to people and help them wherever we possibly can. And I've also joined a healing thing, a healing room here recently. And the people that I have met, who I think I have problems, oh my gosh. You know, to be able to pray for people who think there's no hope and whatnot, and to be able to spend a couple hours a night helping people heal. And, you know, I had no idea. I know you've had some problems, and God bless you for what you've been through, and Eileen, and all of you in the church here now. I've been here for several years, and everybody's gone through some different things. And, you know, praise God that we're all here, sitting here where we are today, and we have fond memories of people who we've been with here in the past. And they live in our memory. We can call upon them anytime that we want to. But we have a lovely family sitting here right next to us. And praise God that we can help anybody here at any particular time. And young lady, I'm going to pledge you a $500 gift today before I leave here. Help you out. So I just so moved, and the Spirit just moved me to do that. I'm sorry. And, you know, praise God. And I want to just pray for everybody here now. Lord Jesus, in the moment, Lord, I just feel a passion to come over to me to pray for healing for anybody that's having any difficulty of any kind. And we know that we all are, Lord. None of us are going to escape any difficulties. So, Lord Jesus, just let us put our faith in you and our trust in you and our belief in you, Lord God, that whatever we're going through is something that's helping to build our character, to build our faith, to build our trust, and to give us a vision for what is in the future. Let us not look in the past and see how bad it's been. Let us look in the future and see what lies ahead. And the hope that you give us through your death on the cross, Lord Jesus, and that we are washed in your blood, that we have a future that will be better than it's ever been before. And we have the all-knowing promise that we will live in eternity with you, and that you will take us in your holy and blessed name, Jesus. Amen.
Pete, you're next. A few weeks ago, I went out to see Pete and Patricia, and Pete put me in his beautiful yellow truck parked on here. Took me on a tour of what's happening in his location, and so that's nothing short of a big-time miracle, and you can tell it better than I can, so you tell it.
Okay. So we're I've been real thankful from the time that when Sharon Shorb and Dick Shorb, when their vehicle broke down, they were having breakfast at Craig's, and Craig and I had just finished. And so then I said, you know, I know that couple. And he said, where are you going to go talk to him? I said, well, let him eat, let him finish eating. And so then, and Pastor, I've talked about this. And so the coincidence, well, we know that's coincidence, you know, that their vehicle broke down, and then they were eating at the same place. And then I got to talk to them, and everything like this. When I came home, I told Patricia, I said, now we're going to go to church again. And because this man has a smile on his face, even when he's not smiling, and he puts you at ease and says that and everything like that. And so thank the Lord for that. There's been several wonderful things that have happened in the last years. And one has been I met my wife, everything like that. And that's going to be 30 years here, coming pretty quick. And so what a lot of people met me, and I got to know a lot of the people here, was our Wednesday Bible study. And we know we have we learned about each other's sense of humors and talking, everything like this. So in the eighth grade, we took public speaking, because some of us farm kids weren't very good at speaking and everything like this. And we weren't supposed to start out by saying, well, I just don't know what to say, everything like that. And that's the wrong thing to say. So in the eighth grade, we learned that you did the introduction, you did the body, and you did the conclusion. Remember, Eileen? And so that's part of my introduction. And the rest of it, we've got a neighbor lady that is down our lane there. There's only four houses and several hundred acres. And so she weathered through the husband leaving and everything like this. I very much admire, she's a nurse and ran a whole department in the hospital and everything like this. And you got to respect these strong ladies when the husbands leave sometime, you know, type thing. So she had the acreage there. So when the chopper was there, then I would chop the scotch broom. And then if there was a little extra spray, everything like this, then I would spray and kill the stuff and everything like this. So now when she mows it, this is just like a lawn and everything like that, because there's no weeds, there's not yellow and everything like that stuff. And so over the years, she would drop some jam to me, you know, type thing. And right now, the last few years, I only have Patty's sweets, and I don't share Patty's sweets. There's Marcy's friend Patty there, because even the pastor doesn't get it. The rest of them I always shared with him. But so here her husband comes over, and her new husband, and he's probably been here about 10 years, but she told Patricia and I, she said, you know, you guys have she was all alone and stuff, and she says, you guys have given me a lot of hope that there's a chance for a remarriage and everything like this. And I said, wow. And she said, you guys are yourselves, you get along real well and everything like that and stuff. And she said, so you give me hope and everything like this. And so then here came this nice fella, and she told me, she said, I'm dating this fella that I met. And when I met him, I told him, I said, boy, you're getting the best single gal on the Yom Highway here and everything like this. And so they've been together for 10 years, and they're doing real good. So here comes the jam, you see. And so then he says, by now I can't have the jam. Like, I only eat patties, I don't eat. So then here comes the jam, and he said, boy, this is really hard for me. He says because he said, this is the wild blackberries and everything like this that we picked, but she said, you got to give some to Pete. And so he was a little nervous and everything like that. And so he said, I've got to really ask you something, Pete, and everything like that. And I said, well, you know, go ahead. And he said, are you having an affair with my wife? And everything like this. Yes. And you know, this is a chance that the fur was going to fly, you know, if you wanted to answer this right or wrong. You know what I'm talking about, Wayne. And so I says, to put you at peace and everything, I said, yes. And I said, and she's fantastic. And he said, you know, she told me he's going to lie and everything like this. So all of a sudden, the sunshine hit him, and he was all happy and everything like that and stuff. And so, but That was the right thing to say, you know, everything like this. And so, but she knows me well enough that I was going to lie and say yes. My body of the speech that I want to say is that when the Lord left, he said, I'll leave the Holy Spirit with you. When we're saved, we have that voice. Some people call it the angel on your shoulder, someplace, everything like that. If we don't listen to that voice, it gets dimmer and dimmer and not louder, you know, and everything. It gets lower and lower. We've got to listen to it and everything like this. And in my case, the Holy Spirit, it comes before on decisions. And sometimes it could be either with buying, it could be with who knows what, and everything like this. And I listened to it when I met Patricia, and they said, you got to be open to this. I've put this gal in front of you. You got to be open to it, everything like that. So we have to listen to the voice. We have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And in a man's situation, the reason why we have to listen to it is because otherwise we say, well, now that was real stupid what I did. I just made a mistake here. I did this and did that. You can imagination. You can use whatever you want to place it with. But the Holy Spirit will say, don't do this because this would happen, everything like this. And so that's what we have to do. We have to listen because we want the Holy Spirit to guide us and not be one of those people that don't listen and say, now that was real stupid for me to go ahead and over the commandments, let's say, and things like this. And so I wanted to share that with you. And I am very thankful for another conclusion. I'm very, very thankful for the wonderful church, the sense of humor, the genuine thing. We've got one of the smallest churches and everything like that, but the depth and the character is unmatched in any church or anything I've ever been associated with. That's really that's the way it is. So I thank the Lord. We love that we found this boy when it's completely all the Lord and the church and you people have just completely blessed our life and everything like this, and that's why I wanted Craig to come. To meet all of us here and everything like this. And so that's the conclusion. I thank you all.
Thank you, Pete. Now, he has another thrilling story that he'll share another time. Our time is up. But hasn't this been good? I want you all to meet a fine young couple that has been in our church the last couple of weeks. Ryan and Christine, to my right, they have a beautiful baby boy, 7 months old, and Christine is the great-granddaughter of Nora. And looking at you as you sit in your chair, Christine, my, you remind me so much of Nora. So let's welcome this fine young couple into our church. Amen. Our time is up, so let's all stand together and sing our New Hope song.